This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, a mass vaccination campaign gets underway in battle-scarred northeast Nigeria to protect 4 million-plus children from measles. And a UN scholarship programme for refugees from South Sudan is restoring hope to a new generation. We'll hear from one of the recipients in Juba. But first, a suicide bombing on Wednesday, which targeted government troops in Mali, killing dozens, should be seen as a direct attack on the peace process there. That's according to the UN Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping, Hervé Ladzous, addressing the Security Council on Wednesday, warning that the country stood at a crossroads. A UN-brokered peace deal was signed in June 2015 to end years of fighting between government forces and Tuareg-led rebels, but attempts to bring all the sides together are moving slowly. Mr. Ladzous told council members that the attack on the camp in Gao, where government forces and armed groups now allied with them were gathering to go on patrol, had killed around 60 and injured dozens of others. Gao is in the north of Mali, which rebels briefly controlled following a failed coup in 2012, and parts of the region remain in opposition hands. Mr. Ladzous said although the identity of the suicide attacker was unknown for now, the agenda was clear. He spoke through an interpreter.
This is an ignoble attack, which should be condemned in the strongest possible terms. But it is also a direct attack, let's be honest, a direct attack on the peace process. There was no other objective behind this attack than to derail the peace process by undermining confidence between the parties and the population.
While acknowledging the immense complexity of the different armed groups operating in Mali, the UN peacekeeping chief said that progress towards the deadline for implementing the agreement this year was too slow.
We only have 5 months until the end of the interim arrangement. And the lack of tangible progress is a source of genuine concern. We have to ask whether there really is the will, there really is the commitment on the part of all of the signatories to this peace process.
He said that security had stagnated, jeopardised by a basic lack of trust between armed groups and the government in its southern stronghold. Some progress had been made, however, he added, as he promised that the UN would stand by the efforts to meet the requirements laid out in the Agreement for Peace and Reconciliation.
We are deeply committed to supporting the Malian government and the signatory parties in the speediest possible implementation of this agreement. President, we're at a crossroads here.
The Foreign Minister of Mali, Abdoulaye Diop, addressed the Security Council next and said the whole country was in mourning following the cowardly suicide attack just hours earlier. He promised the government would bring the perpetrators to justice and said that far from further dividing the different factions involved in the peace effort, it would serve to unify them. His words were also spoken through an interpreter.
The government of Mali is determined to apply the peace agreement and to keep all of its commitments because this agreement is the only framework making it possible to return to peace and stability in Mali.
A mass vaccination campaign to protect more than 4 million children against a measles outbreak in northeast Nigeria is underway, overseen by the World Health Organization. The 2-week-long campaign will target children in Borno, Yobe and Adamawa states, areas that have long been affected by conflict involving Boko Haram, and where some areas remain inaccessible to health workers. WHO reported more than 1,500 suspected measles cases in Borno state alone that occurred between September and December last year. Andita Listerini asked Dr. Rex Mpazanji of WHO Nigeria how big a threat the outbreak was.
In terms of the number of cases that we are getting, sporadic cases we are getting, we have more cases in the northwest part of Nigeria, even compared to the northeast. Definitely for the northeast, because that's where we have the humanitarian emergency, the outbreak is predicted to worsen further if we don't immediately take response. So as of now, because as you know, the population there has underlying sort of problems, for example, of malnutrition, which are known to be factors that can easily worsen. And it underlies more or less the overall challenge that the country has in the sense that the overall measles, routine measles vaccination coverage is relatively low. In other words, it's less than the 80% that we normally use as a sort of level at which we can assume that you may not be able to have outbreaks.
Now, what are the main challenges in carrying out this vaccination campaign, especially since the areas that the WHO focuses on are conflict affected?
The main challenge is that of access of the children in the three states. And mainly, as you may be aware, the most affected state in terms of insecurity is Borno. So it's specifically, while the other two states, the challenges of access are sort of minimal. The second challenge, apart from security, is of course the fact that with the insecurity and the displacement that has taken place, there are challenges of health workers, availability of health workers in all the three states. So in response and knowing that sort of situation, the way the measles campaign has been done is to stagger it. So it is covering, I think it started about a week or two ago, and it's going to continue up more or less to the end of the month to make sure that we continue to stagger it, both to allow for the human resource, the personnel that are available to cover more areas, but also to allow really sort of reaching more population. So we have put it over a longer period of time than normally measles campaigns are done, which is normally done over a week. But in this situation, with those challenges of insecurity, as well as inadequate health service providers, we had to stagger it to make sure that we can adequately cover the population that we are targeting.
A scholarship program administered by the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, is restoring hope among young people displaced by the conflict in South Sudan. The DAFI scholarship program, which the German government's funded for the past 25 years, has allowed more than 2,000 refugees in 41 countries to continue their post-secondary education. DAFI is the German acronym for Albert Einstein German Academic Refugee Initiative Fund. Sebit Williams has been speaking to UNHCR External Relations Officer in South Sudan, Richard Ruati, and scholarship recipient Colax Abraham, who is pursuing a degree in the capital Juba. Mr. Ruati began by explaining why DAFI scholarships benefit students and their countries.
It is a kind of a scholarship launched in 1992 to restore educational hope among refugees, because, you know, refugees are ordinary people like us. So when they flee their countries, they lose a lot of opportunities, including education. And also sometimes when they return back to their country, they cannot get the necessary jobs they can get. We need to make sure that refugees, they go back with the necessary skills that they can benefit from.
Let's talk to Colax, who is one of the beneficiaries, of course, of this scholarship scheme. Colax, tell us about your experience.
My name is Colax Abraham. I'm a refugee in Yei River State. I'm in St. Mary's College, Juba, South Sudan. I'm doing education department.
How has this program changed you?
Since when we were in the refugee camp, we were really suffering a lot. But when we obtained this kind of scholarship, it really has changed us. Since we obtained it, we joined St. Mary's College. We really got different people. We are now interacting with them. And this scholarship is really vital to us. It's changing our moods.
Richard, why is the UNHCR work in the field of education so important?
You know, refugees are people like anybody else. They have a lot of potential. You know, for example, South Sudan is a country which is home to people who are former refugees who lived in DRC, in Central African Republic. It is through this kind of intervention of education of UNHCR that these people were able to acquire education. And when they return to South Sudan, they are able to work in offices. Or even myself, who is speaking to you, I was once a refugee student in the Central African Republic. Without education, the root causes or even some of the issues that the refugees are fleeing for, they will not understand. And when they understand these kind of things through acquiring knowledge and they return to their countries, they really become so useful and resourceful.
Colleagues, share your dreams with us.
Yeah, I promise that after I get finished, I would like to help my people to transform their lives, since some of them, they really flee from their homes due to war. I promise that I'm going to work with the vulnerable, disabilities, and to encourage the girl-child education. And we have the young children that they fail to access education, but through the establishment of this organization like DAFI, they have accessed the education, and I'm sure that I'm willing that to work with them hand in hand for us not to suffer more.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org, and we're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.